What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are we going to have a listener choice Mayo Monday song for Gerard Mayo by this Monday when he joins us at Gillette Stadium at around 8:30 or 9 o'clock? We got to get that going, Courtney.
Now, do you want to have three and have people choose from it, or do you want people to just send in and then we figure out the best?
Maybe we should select three choices.
One from each artist.
Yeah, we asked Gerard Mayo when he was on Monday who his three top artists were, and he said Jay-Z and Migos and Biggie, so we could pick one song from each and then get some kind of a vote going on the show Instagram, which is The Greg Hill Show, W-E-E-I. Thanks to those of you who already have given us a follow and to those who might do so right now. If you'd like to stay up to date with what we are doing on this program, then you can follow this show on the gram. All right. Well, maybe we'll try to get that going so that we're ready for Gerard Mayo when he joins us on Monday. Yes, Shine.
You are so right about the Twitch chat when it comes to the music choices. Once again, Ken Volen, great song. Phil W-E-E-I, what is this crap?
I know.
That is Lady Gaga and Wale.
Look at the Subaru of New England text line. 781 text, awful song.
Right.
508 text, great beat. I mean, that's
dope song, Shy. Like, what is going on?
That's the way it goes.
It's amazing.
That's the way it goes.
It's amazing.
All right. We're going to get to Courtney in today's news in about 40 minutes or so at 7:45. And that includes an incident of hogging the nacho cheese rage, which led to violence in Las Vegas. But
wouldn't you say, Greg, that the one thing that you would not order if you weren't with good friends and it was a group of five or more is nachos?
Yes.
Because you feel like an a-hole if you take too much, but you want to get a good chip or two.
Right. Never take the nucleus.
And it's like
King of Queens.
If it's a bunch of new colleagues, it's a recipe for disaster.
Right. Yeah. I prefer to eat nachos with people who don't mind digging in everybody's hands. The people who carefully pull off a couple and place them onto their own plate, no thank you.
Oh, it's like, going to be difficult. You want the nacho savages.
I do, because I'm one.
Yeah.
I don't care. And I are you a chicken on your nachos?
I am a chicken on my nacho.
You have to be.
I'm a chicken on my nachos, but I'm not a savage, though. But I'll.
Would you ever take nachos home to go?
No, but I will.
I did that.
I will, like, take Hand off up, a I section.
Shime seems.
But that's the way to do it, Wiggy. People think that that's bad or barbaric, but if you take a section, then it reduces the amount of time you need to interfere with the communal plate.
Great Seinfeld reference. I am not one who's going to be a double dipper, and it seems like, Greg, when you're with the Savages.
Friendship.
Savages or nachos, they got no problem going back and forth double dip.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
No, you just go back in. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, you don't need them.
So you're like, Greg, you're a savage?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't know where my hands have been.
But, like, if we're friends, we're friends.
Who cares? Also, the salsa, like, the spiciness of the salsa cancels all the germs out.
It does.
It does.
And if you want to go to...
That's how it works.
And, Greg, if you want to go to a place where you're not even going to be appetized enough to get into it, go to Keen.
You'll never get over that, and I love it.
All right. Shine, time right now for this.
It's time for...
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
New Hampshire texter, 603 texter, Biggie, things done changed. Is a good choice for Mayo Mondays, maybe. So keep track of that one.
We'll think about that. I like that. Any Biggie song, I'm with.
All right. Let's see. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday. Where do you want to start this morning, Shine?
Well, Greg, let's begin with Jason Tatum. He joined CBS Mornings, Wiggy's former teammate Nate Burleson, and was asked about the idea of running it back with the Boston Celtics. And slow your roll a little bit. Jason Tatum doesn't want to be insensitive.
Can the Boston Celtics run it back? I'm not trying to give anybody else no bulletin board material.
Right.
But what do you think?
First, it was extremely tough to win the championship, right? And I was super proud of, you know, what we were able to accomplish. To come into the next season and just say we're going to do it again would be, like, insensitive. I think that a lot has to go right. And our mindset is not let's win the championship again. Let's start over. Let's get better every single day and not skip any steps. And that's why we were successful last season.
Well, maybe a poor word choice there. I don't know that it's insensitive. I mean, it's sports.
Didn't bother me much.
I like a little confidence. I like the alpha. I would say yes, of course. We're going to go out there and we're going to do it. I would like that, but that's not Jason Tatum, I don't think.
No, I think maybe that would be more Jaylen Brown, you know, but I don't mind, you know, we know who Tatum is. I don't mind that, you know, kind of like, hey, we're going to do everything we can do to win and that kind of thing. That doesn't bother me.
It just feels so passive. Like, it's not wrong to just be like, yeah, that's the goal every year. We're going to go out and win the championship every year. That should always be the goal. Like, it's not, I don't think that's a wrong thing to say. Have a little juice.
He's growing into his Mamba mentality. He hasn't got that pot yet.
That's so passive.
Yeah, well.
I mean, Joe Mazzulla appears to be acting in the opposite way.
Yes.
I mean, he talked about the red laser
between the eyes,
bullseye. Yesterday he said, this is a quote, "The word defend is a very passive aggressive term. You go back to the animal kingdom, some of the strongest animals don't defend. They're the most aggressive and they attack the most."
That's what
Joe Mazzulla says.
I like
that. I love him.
Can I tell you what he is?
He's grown on me.
Joe Mazzulla is a champion Dan Campbell.
Curtis, you're in my brain.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That is terrifying.
You're right about that, Curtis.
He's the NBA version of biting kneecaps doing all that stuff.
That's a good one.
It doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass.
You're right, though. He's grown on you.
He's, listen, I love Clapback Joe. I love Angry Joe. I love Savage Joe. I think he's done a great job with this team because that was the biggest question we had. Everybody didn't like the way he handled things, like especially with the media. I love the Clapback Joe.
Yeah.
And he's gotten these guys to buy in, because that's what you got to do in the NBA. It's get the guys to buy into who they are, what their roles are, how the dynamic of the team is. So I would say this as of right now, best coach, manager, whatever you want to call it, in the city. Best head coach, Joe Mazzulla. You know,
that's a shot at Mayo.
Yeah, well, he has nothing. He's only got one game under his belt.
It's not really a hot take, though.
It's
won a championship in his second season.
Had the best season in the history of the Celtics.
Won a
chip.
You are coming at Wiggy
today.
What happened between you?
Cora won a chip.
Don't sigh.
Yeah, but I'm just saying right now in the city, like, yeah, Joe Mazzulla is the best.
Yeah, well, Cora won a chip, and what's Montgomery? The guy's a.
But it's not about what you've done. It's about what you're doing right now, and Joe Mazzulla is doing it.
And I would say, even if Joe Mazzulla didn't win a chip, I would still give him that.
No. Yes, you and I wanted him gone after the Heat series.
I want him gone after the Heat series.
If they fell like they did two seasons ago, we would not be saying that.
Two seasons ago?
Yes.
When they lost to Golden State?
In his first season.
Yeah, but I put more of the blame on Tatum. If Tatum had another
We were all calling for his job.
But that was his first year. But then now he's growing. So if they had another performance like they did against Golden State, I would put that blame on Tatum and Brown.
That was fun.
I got your back.
What's next, Sean?
Next, let's go to everyone's favorite content machine. No, not LeBron. Aaron Rodgers, because this guy he never gets tired of speaking. He's just everywhere. And now he's on Pat McAfee talking about the Jets. Here he was talking about Monday night's loss. And for all you fair weather fans, don't come crying back if they start having success.
I think in general, the messaging was always going to be, if we won, we're going to Super Bowl. If we lose, we're the
Yeah, Michael Cole is going to the top of a roof.
Yep.
And they're living and dying with you, though. But I think you're right.
That's great. I mean, we love it. We love how passionate they are. But it's a 17-game season for a reason. We're going to hit our stride at some point during the season. Might be starting this week and run off a bunch in a row. Might be midseason. Might be end of the season. But the most important thing is obviously getting the playoffs. It's about playing the right way at the right time. Now, we didn't play good enough last night. No excuses. But come along for the ride. Don't, you know, unless you, if you want to jump off now, jump off, but then don't come back.
Mm. Okay. Oh,
God, is he annoying.
Come back.
It's only, only week one.
Can I say something? I think he's I think he's right. Like it's week one. Yeah. I think this team's actually going to be really good.
You do?
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I watched watching the game. You saw the one drive, and I was like, oh, this is the best quarterback the Jets have ever had.
Right.
And it's not even close. And I just think he's still getting back into form after having not played for 18 months.
Mm. And Ty told us, you know, I never dealt with it in my playing career, but when you get hurt and it's like a major injury, which the Achilles is, and then you come back, there is this time of like knowing that your whatever body part you hurt is going to be fine. And so it might be you need that hit or you need to get in something where your people are chasing you and pulling
you. So that injury is still in the back of his head or in the front of his
head. In the front of his head.
We even saw it here with Tom Brady, I think, in 09, post-ACL. Like, those first couple games, he was clearly hesitant.
Oh, yeah, two touchdowns in the final 2 minutes, Monday Night Football to beat the Bills in the first game back.
I understand, but, he was clearly hesitant in the
pocket
to start.
Thanks to Big Bang Clock on the fumble on the after the kickoff. But I would add, let's not. But there was a great conversation about Aaron Rodgers and Purdy on FS1 yesterday. There's a new show with Keyshawn Johnson, Paul Pierce, and Michael Irvin and Joy Taylor. I don't know what it's called. And they asked the question, if you were Kyle Shanahan, who would you take the rest of this season, Brock Purdy or Aaron Rodgers? And the fact that it was even a discussion, he would take Aaron Rodgers 1,000 times out of 1,000 without even a hesitation. And that was basically the agreement of most. I think one guy said no.
I mean, who wouldn't? You know what I mean?
Because people say Purdy played well, Purdy's the future, all this stuff.
Fine.
I hate the argument. Wiggy does it all the time against Brock Purdy that he's just a game manager.
Well, Greg, they had an undrafted guy run for 175 yards.
Okay, but he got the overtime. He got the team to overtime in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they were the best roster. They were the most healthy roster in football, and he's the best coach.
Give him a little respect.
Well, I think you give him respect. When he's in a position, here's what I'll say about him. He's taking advantage of his opportunity. He's not doing anything that is hurting the 49ers. He's doing enough to help them, but he's not at the point where he can say, where you could say, okay, he can lift them to that next level and outdo whoever the best quarterback is on the other side of the field. That's where he's just not there yet. And here's the biggest question. Would you give Brock Purdy $60 million a year?
I would.
Have fun with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
because Deshaun
Watson is being paid $70 million a year or whatever it is.
Well, 200.
That's the worst contract in NFL history.
But Brock Purdy's up next. He's one of those. And I think the biggest thing that everybody's waiting on to see how much they value Brock Purdy when it comes to, all right, we need to pay this guy. And what does that look like? Especially when you see guys like Trevor Lawrence getting $220 million or whatever it is.
Yeah. All right. Was there anything left?
Yeah, I have one more we can get to on the other side of the break if you want.
Okay, yeah. Let's do that.
Cool.
Then we'll get to Courtney and today's news. Right now, Courtney, and what is trending this hour?
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Red Sox fell to the Orioles last night 5-3. Cutter Crawford went 6 1/3, giving up 3 runs on 7 hits while striking out 6. Last one with the Orioles tonight, 7:10 first pitch, with Nick Pivetta getting the start at Fenway. You can hang out with Joe Weil at 6:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. Then Sean McDonough and Joe Castiglione have the call in the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, right here on EEI and, as always, on the Odyssey app. Kyle Shanahan has clarified what Christian McCaffrey is dealing with injury-wise, saying he would have played in the game if it was the playoffs, and that CMC has Achilles tendonitis. He's listed as day to day. In golf, PGA Tour officials, including Tiger Woods, reportedly met with representatives from Saudi Arabia's public investment fund in New York yesterday. The sides are attempting to come to terms on a deal that would inject more than $1 billion from the PIF into PGA Tour enterprises. And Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading big bank alternative for families and businesses in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner, upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank, member FDIC and DIF. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 55 degrees, beautiful day, sunny skies, highs in the upper 70s. Sad news, Greg. Sunset 6:59 today in the city of Boston.
It is all downhill from here, Curtis.
Yep. Oh, well. We'll have to, you know, when the Sox make the playoffs, we'll have an extended fall.
When do you have the first snow flying?
Oh, that's interesting. It's November 23rd.
Okay.
So that was my updated modeling this morning.
That's early.
Yeah, well.
November 23rd.
You know, if you ain't first, you're last.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Curtis.
Thank you.
We will be right back.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back. Well, unfortunately, rough day for that guy, Dave Grohl, yesterday. Took to Instagram with an announcement, much like some kind of a BOGO deal or something on Instagram. If you're watching the show on Twitch or on YouTube, then you can see the announcement that Dave Grohl made. But he wrote, "I've recently become the father of a new baby daughter born outside of my marriage.
Whoa.
I plan to be a loving and supportive parent to her. I love my wife and my children, and I am doing everything I can to regain their trust and earn their forgiveness."
Whoa.
Been married for quite some time.
Okay.
And so hopefully.
Does this fall in the Greg Hill jinx category?
Because I chose them as one of my three favorite bands.
I mean, you just brought them up out of nowhere a couple days ago.
Yeah. When I first read this, I was like, oh, you know, a rock star. Maybe they have an open marriage. But then I'm like, okay, you have to earn the trust back, an open marriage.
No, I mean,
I don't think anybody has that type of marriage.
I mean, I mean, God forbid.
Woo!
If this ever happened with Santo, would he be able to... Would he be able to regain your trust?
Immediately, no.
No?
Yeah. No.
You love him.
That's the lie,
yeah,
though.
And everybody, I thought he loved me, too. Yeah. But if he's going to go get another woman pregnant,
yeah,
and then the burden falls on you because you're going to have to raise this child.
Well, you're going to have to kind of be in
a parental
life.
Figure. Yeah. If you're staying with him, then that's going to be a stepchild for you.
And the BM's still around.
Yes.
Mm.
That's terrible.
That's the line that a lot of women... There's no return.
No.
Once you cross that line.
No return.
You know, they might give you a pass if you stumble, you have a couple incidents, but once
a
you cross.
A couple incidents?
Once you cross, oh yeah. Once you cross that line, it's
also,
no return.
I'm sorry. What, does Dave Grohl come home and say, honey, I'm really sorry. It only happened once. Cheated on you once throughout our marriage.
I think he probably said, hey, if you get a chance, check my Instagram.
Is this happening right now on one of my favorite shows, reality shows, Love and Hip Hop with Kirk and Rashida?
Oh.
Right. I was going to bring that up.
Yes. Yeah. And he had kid outside his marriage.
A lot of people, though, are able to, if they really love somebody, are able to forgive Courtney. And so it's just...
I'd like to see them.
No, there are people who do it.
A guy in the news, look at Tyreek Hill. He's had like six different babies.
Right. I played with a guy who had a situation like this, and he obviously stayed with his wife.
Okay, let me rephrase. They stayed together?
For a minute.
Let me rephrase. Dave Grohl may be a different level, as are these the professional athletes you're speaking of. Mm-hmm. Show me a regular Joe Schmo who is doing this and the woman is staying with him.
Oh, it happens all the time. I bet it happens more with the regular Joe Schmo than it does the celebrity.
Yeah, Courtney, I think it happens way more than you think it does.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Courtney, have you been living under a rock your whole life?
I guess so.
But come on, you're telling me you don't know people who've been in this situation?
Where their significant other got another person pregnant? No.
Yeah.
Can honestly say, hand to God, never.
You sure?
Yes.
You positive? Think of all the people you know.
Yes.
Okay.
Got another person pregnant?
All right, Courtney.
You know a lot of people that this has happened to?
No, I said I know this has happened to people.
But you know someone personally?
Yes, I just told you.
I know. That's shocking to me.
Mm. Yeah, and I bet you do, too. Just you're probably, it's not dawning on you right now.
Do you know Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah,
do I know him?
Yeah,
I thought you meant like a person.
No, I'm kidding.
Someone personal.
No,
like somebody that you might not have to. They might not have to be in your circle of trust, but you know them through somebody or somebody else.
No, besides people in Hollywood, no.
Damn, Courtney, where you living?
Craig, do you?
No, I don't think I do.
Chime, do you?
Your mic's not on.
Not, no, I was thinking for a moment. Yeah. Not personally, no.
Curtis?
I know of people, but I don't know. The only person I know is one of my best friends. His parents, right. He found out he had a sibling.
Right, so there you go. So you know people.
Oh, later on in life.
Right, yeah. Through Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. So my point is you know people.
23 and me really screwing people over these days.
Yeah. It really did.
Does it count if my grandfather found out he had a whole separate family?
Yes.
That counts.
Yeah, that counts.
So, like, his father had, like, six kids.
Yes,
and then his, like, first wife passed, and he left those kids at, like, an orphanage and then went and had a second family.
Yes, that counts.
That doesn't count.
Okay, there you go.
That's much different.
That's different.
Okay.
Because you're not getting the person pregnant at the same time you're married or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, rough day for Dave Grohl.
That is crazy. Anyone to IG to let everybody know, too.
That's how we did it. Little quick statement on Instagram, and then probably shut the comments off. That's what I would do. This is Kurt from what?
Jackson is chiming in. Different but close. I know a guy who walked in on his wife cheating on their honeymoon.
On the honeymoon?
Wow.
What does that have to do with?
Well, this really doesn't have anything to do with
that.
That
I don't know.
Appreciate it.
I don't know anybody in that world.
This is Kurt from Florida. Hello, Kurt.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Kurt?
Hey, you guys were talking about, you know, like the best coach in Boston with Joe Mazzulla. I think, personally, he might be one of the best coaches in sports right now.
In sports? In all of sports?
I was wondering what your guys...
He's
one of. He's not the best, but I think he's one of.
He's off to a great
my
start.
Top five right now.
He's top five? I mean,
my top five right now would be like Joe Mazzulla, Dan Campbell, maybe Alex Cora, Don Staley, and then Andy Reid.
Curtis, I mean,
I'm sorry, I can't get over that text.
Wait, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Jackson. Follow up. I said, did they stay together? Yeah, but he died. but he died of a heart attack shortly after.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So then they didn't.
What a turn.
Wow, I didn't see that one coming. So they stood together, and then his heart being broken is what ultimately took him out.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Wow.
I honestly, in a million years, I did not ever think I would hear that story and then have it be interrupted by a caller ranking Don Staley.
Yes.
And then getting back to a heart attack. Only here.
Very good coach, though. I would say Mazzulla's up there.
Yeah, you said it earlier.
But he's saying in all of sports.
Okay, can I ask you a question, Wiggy?
Uh-huh.
You give Purdy a hard time because anybody could be a great quarterback on that team.
Right.
Why don't you have the same thing for Mazzulla?
Because Mazzulla was able to, unlike Shanahan, win a chip.
No, I'm not. Shanahan's not part of this.
What are you saying?
Brock Purdy.
Curtis is saying he's a great game manager of a coach because he has Tatum,
a Mercedes or a
Brown,
Ferrari.
He's got
well,
the
people
talent.
Will tell you. Listen, people will tell you that Tatum's not a top five player in the NBA.
But you don't think you think?
No,
he
no,
is.
I do. But there will be a lot of people that will tell you that. Right? There are a lot of people that will tell you that Jaylen Brown isn't, you know, a top 15 player in the NBA.
Yeah.
So
But we're talking about what you feel, and you feel that many other people could do what Brock Purdy's doing, given the keys to that offense.
Yeah, and when
and there's a lot of people that could be doing what Mazzulla did, given the job that he has.
Well, we've seen a couple people that had that and weren't able to get it done. Ime Udoka had it. Brad Stevens had it. Wasn't able to get it done. So it's like even with the 49ers scenario, Brock Purdy, if you put Aaron Rodgers in that situation, I would think he'd be able to win a chip. But that don't mean he's going to be able to get it done. So like you could put another coach on the sideline, and they were talking about doing that. I don't know if another coach on the sideline is going to get the Celtics to win a chip.
Hard for me. I mean, we don't have to talk about it, but hard for me to put anybody in that category of best coach in the country, as he was suggesting, who hasn't won a championship. Like, he put Dan Campbell in there. Great coach. I mean,
I would.
You would?
Yeah. Like, well, I think it depends on the sport. Like, I think basketball, when you have superstars, it's just easier to win a title. Whereas in football, like, you can be a really, really good coach and just not have the players or not have the quarterback. I don't know. I think it depends a lot on which sport you're talking about.
And Andy Reid is, you know, everybody's favorite coach now, but yeah, he didn't win a Super Bowl until he had one of the two best players to ever play quarterback.
Great point.
All right, let's get to the rest of They Said It. What's left?
So we have, this is Julian Edelman, was joining Colin Cowherd and talked about the win for the Patriots being kind of validation of the whole process and the culture that they're building.
You know, with a game that the Patriots played and to come out on week one and have a big victory against a team they probably should have lost to, it's great for that building. Because that coaching staff, Gerard Mayo, everything that this staff has been preaching to the team and organized team activities, mini camps, training camp, everything that they've been preaching just showed that it worked. The messaging worked. So that's how you get guys to buy in. That's how you get your confidence to grow bigger. That's how you get guys to come in a little earlier, because everything that they work hard on, they got some production out of it. They got a little taste of what it tastes like to win.
Isn't it amazing what that week one win has done when it comes to your outlook for Sunday and your excitement about Sunday? Like, are you not more excited about this game than you would have been if they had lost? No?
I mean, I'm excited, but I'm like with Shime. It's only week one.
But you're more excited. If they had lost that first game, we would have been looking at, like, oh, Sunday. You'd be dreading Sunday. At least there's a glimmer of hope heading into Sunday.
The thing that I'm looking at, my excitement is, oh, the offensive line played good. Could they play good again? Could they play good again? Can they play good again? Guess what? Get Drake May in.
I just look at it complete. I was, Shine brought up them being Ofer, or Andy Hart brought up.
Yeah.
I was looking at this, like, clear under 4.5 at least.
Right.
And I got to wait and see what happens on Sunday. But that
changed my mind, though.
They're in this game on Sunday. They win this game on Sunday. It's a completely different outlook.
And what Sunday did was present a product that was watchable, something we haven't had. And we now have a season. I don't know if Gerard Mayo is going to be a great coach long-term here, but winning early allows there to be more room for error. And what that win did was just get us at least another couple months of football where they're relevant and where the team is worthy of, you know. And I just think David Andrews, we heard it with Courtney's lead today, where he's talking about Brissett. It seems like the expulsion of Mac Jones has maybe been the singular move that has changed the entire mood of that building.
Bite your tongue.
You're right.
You're probably right. It's great. I mean, what it does for the players winning that game is incredible. Like, it gives them that confidence, and they, you know, and they can feed off the negativity and the nobody gave them a chance, and that I love it.
Right, but I get a better look of what a team really is in the face of adversity. When they're losing, when they go on a couple game losing streak and things didn't go their way, then.
Okay, I think adversity, though, is everybody suggest you're underdogs in every single game heading into the season.
Right.
You're on the road. You're playing the Bengals, which everybody says is a much better football team. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen a little bit of how they are in the face
but
of adversity.
That, but that,
and it looked pretty good.
But even played the Devon Godshaw audio on Monday where he talked about how the PFF idiots had them at 8.5-point underdogs. And like, we take that personally, and fine, keep counting us out. We're going to take that personally. Like, to me, that is adversity leading into the season.
The singular play that we didn't talk about yesterday was the 4th-and-2 stop by Jonathan Jones.
Yes. That thing was awesome.
We talked about it briefly just with Ty, but yes, unbelievable.
But that play was situational football.
Yep.
You had, I think it was a one position, I think it was a 6-point lead at the time. Maybe I'm mistaken. I think it was 13-7. That was the play of the game, and that was just all about understanding your role, anticipating. I mean, that was old school Patriots.
And a different level of physicality than we've seen from this team in the last couple of years. Like, they were buzzing on defense at times.
And when I say, like, the adversity level, it's when you start to go through things. Like, they hear what everybody's saying, and that's fuel to their fire. But they believe in that locker room the same way we believed in, 2001, that we can go out there and compete with any team. But we didn't start believing that until we were in week 10 against the Rams and we lost. And then it was, we were 5-5 and we believed it. And then it was like, okay, let's see now what we do after the loss. And then we ripped off 9 straight.
Because you played the Rams.
Right.
Tough.
Right. And then we ripped off 9 straight. So when I say, okay, what happens?
That was a.
Let's say they go on the road.
9 straight, you're including playoffs.
In the Super Bowl. So let's say they win this game, and then they go to New York and lose, and they go to San Francisco and lose. Then let's see how the bounce back is come Miami.
But then they're 2-2 after 4 games. They've been 1-3 the last 3 years.
Right.
And everybody's saying it's one game. God, that is such a laughable thing to say. Obviously it is, but those are the same people who spent the summer mocking a guy they had never seen actually coach a game in the regular season.
Yeah.
So you can't have it both ways.
I mean, no, you can't. Ask Jets fans if it's only one game.
Right.
Ask Giants fans if it's only one game.
Ask Bengals fans.
The Giants and Panthers seasons are basically over.
Yeah. All right, we will get to Courtney and today's news coming up next.
It's time for...
You ever go into a new home where you have a shower where the water doesn't come out of the shower head? They put a restrictor on. I took all the restrictors off.
The news.
I've had the experience. I take a shower. I want that beautiful head of hair to be nice and wet. Lather.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
Definitely his Hancock, so...
excuse me?
Well, that's what they call a signature.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com.
I want it to be lathered beautifully.
On WEEI.
Start off this morning by talking about last night's debate.
Do we have to?
Unfortunately, I believe yes.
Yeah, fill me in.
Where does one go to get that time back? Yeah. I feel like it's my obligation as an American to watch, but I
thought this was America.
That's where you're wrong, Greg.
Can I just express this, because everybody hates everything politically?
Yeah.
It's an easy way to understand who wins and loses a political debate. Whoever blames the moderators' side lost the debate.
Yeah.
And you saw a lot of very angry conservatives last night at ABC. And whatever their point, I'm not judging it right or wrong, the side that gets mad at the moderator is the side that lost the debate.
I just...
And 9 o'clock? Like, who is this? Adam Silver running this? Yeah. Like, why are we starting a debate at 9 p.m.?
I fell asleep during it, and I kept waking up to Santo belly laughing throughout. Right. So
you have to laugh, otherwise you cry.
Yeah. Donald Trump and Kamala Harris faced off for the debate last night, and when it came to talking about Kyiv, the capital of Ukraine, the VP suggests Putin would eat Trump for lunch and take over the capital if Trump was the president. We could hear a little bit of that.
Understand the importance of the greatest military alliance the world has ever known, which is NATO, and what we have done to preserve the ability of Zelensky and the Ukrainians to fight for their independence. Otherwise, Putin would be sitting in Kyiv with his eyes on the rest of Europe, starting with Poland. And why don't you tell the 800,000 Polish Americans right here in Pennsylvania how quickly you would give up for the sake of favor and what you think is a friendship with what is known to be a dictator who would eat you for lunch.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will never understand this world where we care more about the Ukrainian border than our own. Mm. That will never make sense to me, but that's why I'm not in politics.
Right. Well, welcome to America. It seems like that's always the play where we care about things abroad rather than what's going on in our own backyard.
Yep.
Well, when it comes to the people that are crossing the border, Trump had some hot takes. He said that the people coming into the country are eating people's pets.
This is alarming.
Yes.
I didn't realize this till last night. I'm very concerned about Bullet.
Right.
I don't know if I should be taking Bullet on my old man walks at 4:20 in the morning because of this danger. I don't want Bullet to be eaten with other dogs and cats.
Good morning, my neighbor!
I don't say this often, but I'm happy Pudge left when he did.
The unconfirmed reports come out of Springfield, Ohio.
Okay.
We can hear a bit of Trump.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country, and it's a shame.
Okay.
All right.
All right, well, be careful.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's all kinds of pets. I mean, are you safe if you have a parrot or something like that?
Well, Greg, I think you're good here since they're giving the our neighbors a ton of money anyways to go and do whatever they want. Okay.
Right. Don't people have chickens as pets, and I eat chicken?
True.
Yes, you do, Wiggy.
I love some chicken.
Yes, you do.
Lemon pepper.
Oh, yeah.
An awful smell in Brookline has taken over an entire neighborhood. It's stemming from a trash heap behind a string of new restaurants.
Oh, okay.
So they opened, and apparently they haven't figured out the trash system.
Uh-huh.
So they've just been tossing it in the back parking lot. It's gotten so big that it took a removal crew most of the day yesterday to clean it all up. Here's Brookline Town Manager Charles Carey on BZ.
I just got here about an hour ago, and it reaches pretty far, depending on the wind and the heat and all of those things. It's unappetizing, to say the least. It's our understanding that there was a miscommunication between the owner of the building and their hauling company, and that resulted in trash not being able to be picked up.
Mm. Brookline, where it costs $1 million to tear down a house and start brand new, you'll get that smell.
The normal aroma in Brookline is money. So.
Tom Ford.
The mom of the 14-year-old school shooter that killed 4 and injured 9 more at Appalachee High School in Georgia talked on the news about how the school counselor reached out that morning.
That morning?
Yeah, that morning.
This is getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
I don't understand. And again, I'm not a school administrator. I'm not a teacher, so I take it with a grain of salt. But how does the counselor reach out that morning with a concern and they don't immediately go and get the kid? Yeah, go find the kid immediately.
Right. Well, the mom, I brought this up the other day. The mom did live 200 miles away from
the parents.
Yes, but I'm just saying, because I'm seeing a lot of people saying the mom should have gone to the school immediately.
Yeah.
30 minutes later, she did end up going to the school, but it took her a long time to get there. We can hear a bit of what she had to say.
The counselor said, well, I wanted to let you know that earlier this morning, one of Colt's teachers had sent me an email that said Colt had been making references to school shootings. Between my gut feelings, the text messages, and now this email, y'all need to go, like, run to the classroom.
Damn. So is that on the school if all this information is starting to come out where they might have had some type of knowledge and didn't act? Could they be culpable or held accountable in any way?
I don't know. I mean, I just feel like that you've got to, we talked about this before, whether it's the FBI or the school or the police or parents, like if anybody is threatening to do something, unfortunately, you can't take it lightly.
And every school has, they might not have police in there, but they have some type of security. So where you could go remove the kid from class.
A lot of schools don't. Like they don't have, all schools don't have security.
But really? but you have like principals and stuff, right? So like when a school gets called, like if a bomb threat gets called into a school, you evacuate the kids.
Yeah.
Why, if there's a threat like this, why wouldn't you at least go, I don't know, grab the kid and bring him to a separate office?
But here's the school into lockdown and then go grab him.
But like, here's the issue, guys. We can't imagine how many times there is a call to a guidance counselor that says their son or daughter is unwell, is making crazy statements, which is why you are all right. In hindsight, we all wish they would have done that. But Wiggy's plan is the most logical. You remove any firearms from the facility so that there is no harm that can be done to mass amounts of people.
Right.
So that way, if the there's no guns there, the mom gets to the school and says, I need to talk to my son, pull him out of there, and then there's nobody that's injured.
It's I don't get why every, it seems like, federal building in America, it's like trying to get in. You got to pass six armored guards. You got to walk through metal detectors.
We should do that with kids.
Right,
I do
it with
you.
Schools. I don't get why people don't want that.
And a lot of people say, well, won't that scare kids? I don't have a child, so I know I shouldn't even be speaking on it. But if I was a kid at school, going through a metal detector every day in the world that we live in would make me feel much safer throughout the day. The safest I ever feel is when I go through metal detectors going to the airport.
This question is being debated right now. Metal detectors in schools locally.
Yep.
One city, and we're going to get to that next.
Yes.
Ooh.
When we continue with Courtney's news.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.